The Marksman. Chapter 1. The crosshairs settle between her eyes at 187 yards. I've been on her since a little after one, long enough for the bark under my elbows to leave flat dents in my skin, long enough for my legs to go from stiff to nothing and back again. The rifle is steady, my hands are steady. This is the part I understand. She comes through the trees slow, picking her line without looking down. Short dark hair, cut rough. Dye grown out at the roots so the gray shows. Black shirt, jeans, boots dark with dirt. 60-something, but there's no bend in her spine, no shuffle to her walk. She moves like she's walked this ground 1,000 times, and it always stepped out of her way. I don't think about numbers. I don't need to. The way she fills the scope tells me how far she is. The size of the trunks around her tells me what the bullet will do. It's all in my hands and in my shoulder, and in the way the stock sits against my cheek. I don't name it, I just know it. The air is still. No gusts, no leaves talking. Just a slow drift from left to right I feel on my face and in the grass near the muzzle. Nothing big enough to matter. My finger rests on the trigger, bent, ready. The pad of it finds the same place it always finds. There's comfort in that. Metal, bone, breath. The small, tight world of a clean shot. She's been walking steady. Now I see the first signs of tired in her stride. Shorter steps. A little more weight hitting each heel. Shoulders dropping a fraction after every few paces. She's going to slow down without thinking about it. That's when it's easy. That's when it's supposed to happen. She stops instead. Right there in a strip of open ground, between two big oaks. I don't move. I don't scratch. I don't clear my throat. I've been part of this ridge for near an hour. No reason in the world for her to sense me. I'm downwind. My clothes match the bark and the dirt. Every rule I was taught says I'm invisible. She tips her head back and looks up into the canopy. I see the pale line of her throat in the scope. Sunlight cuts through in patches, catching the side of her face. Maybe she sees sky. Maybe she's watching a bird cross between the branches. Maybe she just needed to stop and breathe. The crosshairs stay on her. I hold them there without effort. This is what I'm good at. This is the only thing I'm good at. All it takes is a smooth pull and it's over. She drops. The forest takes the sound and flattens it. I climb down and walk away lighter by one bullet and nothing else. I don't pull. Not yet. Not for any reason I can say. Something in me waits that extra beat that isn't in the training. She lowers her head again. Then she turns and faces straight toward me. Not a sweep of the eyes. Not checking both sides. She looks right at the place I am. Right through the thin mess of branches. Right up the line of the barrel. She shouldn't see anything. From down there, I'm just another dark shape on a ridge. Too far. Too much between us. Logic says I'm not there. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like she's looking through the scope the wrong way round. Straight into my eye. My right hand gives a small jump. The rifle dips. Crosshairs slide off her face and catch the trunk behind her. It's a tiny thing, over in half a breath, but I feel it like a crack running down a piece of glass. I bring the scope back to her, slower this time. Up close, she looks older than the walk showed. Lines carved deep around her mouth. Creases at the corners of her eyes like cuts in old leather. There's a fine shake in the fingers of the hand hanging by her side. It comes and goes, but it's there. Her eyes haven't changed. Flat. Pale. Weighing me. Those eyes stood in the doorway of a trailer when I was 11 and told me I didn't have to live there anymore. Those eyes put a rifle in my hands and told me I could make myself useful. Those eyes have watched every target I ever took, even when she wasn't on the hill with me. Luna Jones. Folks around here got different names for her. The clans got theirs. To me, she's my grandmother. She doesn't call my name, doesn't raise a hand, doesn't duck. She just stands there and lets me aim at her. This is where the shot belongs. That's what the setup means. Elevated ground, clear lane, Target alone, no one to see her fall. Everything in my body knows how to finish it. Finger starts to take up the slack by itself, the way it always does. I stop it. Not with a big thought. Just with the same small, stubborn piece of me that sometimes looks at a command and wants to say no. The trigger stays where it is. My finger eases back off it. I move it alongside the guard. The barrel comes down a little. The crosshairs slide from her eyes to her chest, to the dark line of trees behind her. Breath comes back in a rush I didn't plan on. I lift my head off the stalk and blink. The world goes wide again. She's just a woman in black in a strip of woods, not a full frame of glass. She's still looking at me. There's no surprise on her face. No anger. Just that same careful look she had the day she sat me at her kitchen table and said, "You want to eat, you earn it." My hands are shaking now. Not so much I'll drop the rifle. Enough that I know something's broken. I had her. I didn't take her. No way to pretend that wasn't a choice. She turns then. Not away from the ridge. Toward it. She starts up, step by step, using roots and rocks she already knows are there. Of course she knows them. She chose this ground. Same as she chose me. I stay low in the brush, rifle across my forearms, watching her climb. By the time she reaches me, one thing's settled in my mind. Whatever she made me into, it's not the only thing I am anymore. And she's about to tell me what that's going to cost.